Oh, baby, how you lie? Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. We're glad you're here. I've got Vincent Hunt talking Creators Camp. That is a very cool thing. Tim Center is with us talking about their Pig Fest that starts today, happens today. And I've got Tim Linnefelt with the Linnefelt Sports Report and FSU Baseball. So stay with me right here at Freedom 93.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800. Well, here you are again, my friend. I'm glad that you've made it a part of your Saturday morning to talk with the very fine people that we have lined up for you. Well, I guess you don't get to talk. Well, if you're talking to the radio or your smartphone or your computer as we're talking, that probably isn't the most engaging thing to do. But, you know, I guess my dad used to do that. He would yell at the TV all the time or the radio. And I always wondered, you know, why? Does he not know they're not listening? They're not here. But maybe it feels good. I don't know. Whatever. We're just glad that you're a part of the show because you are the most important part, in my estimation, because you know what? You are the reason we do this. We like bringing you the very best that Tallahassee has to offer. The best people, the brightest stars on the horizon. Some of the folks that are down there at grassroots level, working their little heinies to bring good things to life. People like Vincent Hunt, who's involved with a massive corporation, one of his many entities that he has authored, along with some very, very able folks around him who have put together something called Creators Camp. We're going to learn all about Creators Camp, and it's happening this month, as a matter of fact. So he'll bring us up to date on what that is and why it is and how it is that Creators Camp is contributing not only to the young people that it's serving, and by its name, you might suspect that it is, in fact, a kind of camp experience. But it's not where you go off and learn to do, you know, macrame and tying knots and maybe, you know, rowing a canoe or something. This is a camp where you discover for yourself, within yourself, your innovative, creative, collaborative ability. We're talking people who are, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, people who then are in the confines of this camping experience for an entire week. In which Vince will have to give us the details, but basically what they're going to do is build a computer, but not just any computer. This is called a Raspberry Pi. It's like a credit card size computer. Yeah, and then they get to decide how they want to use this computer they've built in whatever application they have in mind for some kind of a solution, we'll say, a business solution or maybe a contribution of some kind. There's a lot to it, but Creators Camp, at its core, brings us a different way of conceptualizing education, among many things, the educational experience, the educational process, how it is that this as an approach is quite different than what you and I may have grown up with, or certainly what we have known culturally as a sort of institutionalization of an industrial model in which we're being created for a job out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Well, we're seeing a whole lot of college graduates that are disenfranchised. And we're seeing younger people who find themselves entrenched in poverty, entrenched in a lack of opportunities and resource. And that's where we bring Tim Center to us this morning as well. Tim will be with us in the first hour talking about that challenging, even frustrating consideration that, in fact, we have not just a few people. We have segments of our population, certainly right here in Tallahassee, that find themselves disenfranchised, disconnected, don't see the opportunities available to them, the options, I think Tim will call it, that make it possible for them to move beyond their current level of education, income, employment. And so, yes, Tallahassee has been identified rather infamously of late in relation to, and we've said it here on this show repeatedly, that the segregation of this town, the income immobility of the county, these are based in hard facts, statistical evidence that is not one researcher or another concocting this stuff. These are census data. I mean, these are demographics about the community that have been resident, that have been there for a long time. What we find remarkable is that you have people like Tim Center and Community Action Agency that are taking up that challenge and saying, you know, to deny the truth doesn't get us anywhere. Maybe we've all lived in some form or style of denial for too long. But what we can do is collaborate. We can combine private and public resources to bring to bear the kind of education, the kind of motivation, the kind of instruction, and the discussion that is key to me finding a better way for myself, for my family. So here you have these two men, Vincent Hunt, Tim Center, very different parts of the world in some respects, engaged in different activities, but yet having a kind of core common theme here, I think, or a thread, if you want, the betterment of us all. Better not just for the individuals that are participating, but seeing this in a very systemic way, the betterment of our town, yes, the betterment of our population, our community, yes, the betterment of the region and the nation and our culture, our way of thinking about one another. So, in fact, we are all part of one another in some fashion. That's, by the way, what the Tallahassee Food Challenge is all about. You've heard me preach at you about this, and I will continue to do so. Thank you very much. Tallahassee Food Challenge is an expression of that same collaborative spirit, the idea that businesses can come together as sponsors. They pool their advertising resources, and they pay for the advertising and the social media and the website, so that you and I are better informed and reminded that, yes, hunger goes on. That's one thing we can be assured of, that people get hungry pretty much every day. I think we are on record as saying that people don't somehow stop getting hungry. Heck, most of us are afraid to miss a meal. But to go hungry for days at a time is unthinkable. And yet we have people living in our town that suffer that way, just that way, and more so their own children. And you talk about something that's demoralizing, and you want this guy to go out and get himself a job and feed those kids. Well, of course you do. And so, by the way, so does he. This is not a life that he's chosen. This is a life that he does not prefer, but he is looking for a way out, looking for a way up. So the food challenge says, well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to remember you, and we're going to provide for you in this way, that we're going to help feed your family. and we're glad to do so. By the way, folks, if you've not participated, you can do this very simply. Go to our website, TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. It's the initiative of this radio show, and it is the participation of all of our sponsors. You'll find them listed there. Mainline, Summit Group, Truck and Car Concepts, Wooden Glass, Tallahassee Family Magazine, Southern Smiles Family Dentistry, and the Browning Company, Moving and Logistics. All of these people came together, all of these businesses, to make that a possibility. And it's simply there as a way of reminding us to give generously to these food assistance charities. And then we have locations around the county where you can come and participate at various times through the month of June. So we will continue doing that through the month of June. We will continue with our show right after this break, and we will have with us a very lovely couple, Gary and Josephine Montgomery. They'll be here to talk about Living Stones' third annual Family Fun Day. So stay with me. We'll be right here with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Wooden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Wooden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wooden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Wooden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 2007, Living Stones International was established as a faith-based children and family outreach and social services nonprofit organization. And it was based on a very simple biblical standard, that from 1 Peter 2, 4 through 9, verses 4 through 9. LSI went from a Marriage Really Works education program to a prison-based program working with children of inmates and their families. For 2 years, children are reconnected to moms, dads, and grandparents in the state prison system in Region 1 within the counties of Gadsden, Jefferson, Leon, Liberty, and Wakulla counties. Gary and Josephine Montgomery are the founders of Living Stones, and they are our very lovely guests this morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
You are looking well, both of you.
I received that.
You know, considering you. They seem to just work you tirelessly in this.
Only age is numbers are increasing, well, but we're trying not to think about it.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I feel it in my bones, too, now.
Well, it's all about mileage, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, that's
about
right.
The age. But from my humble observation, you guys have racked up some frequent flyer miles because yes. you've worked tirelessly in this business for so many years. And it's a remarkable impact, I think, a remarkable difference in the lives of those who you serve, the families, mm-hmm. the inmates and their children. Now, it's been a year since you were here
wow.
with us, and I know you've got an event coming up. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. It's it's really a benefit, a fundraiser for this Living Stones ministry, and it's their third annual Family Fun Day, which is very cool. So we're going to talk about that. What's been going on with you since we last spoke? What's the latest, newest?
Well, go ahead and let JC share that because so.
Well, a year has passed. It's unbelievable. But within that year, in fact, we've been doing the program Children of Inmates has been, this is our third year.
Wow.
And we have gone from 8 children when we first started this program to wow. now up to 170.
Wow.
Where we are connecting and reconnecting children and grandchildren back to their parents and grandparents who are incarcerated. We have expanded to several other prisons. We went from Wakulla at all 3 camps. We're still there to Liberty, to Gadsden Women's, and now we're at the facility, Gadsden Reentry Center, that's a newly opened facility within the past year.
cool.
So it's been an awesome year. And then to work with some of our children who are closer to home in Leon County, especially the Frenchtown and Greater Frenchtown area, we started an after-school program. And we're coming up in our third year with that as well.
Speaking of the Frenchtown area, there's a lot going on down there.
Busy, 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 all for the wrong reasons. And that's one of the reasons. We are a, what we term a direct intervention program, really a preventive measure for those children of incarcerated parents. We try to, because they are not in the system. They are not involved in any of those outside activities that will put them on the wrong path. But statistics states that 70% of them will themselves be incarcerated within their lifetime, which means somewhere along the line, they make a wrong choice, make the wrong detour. So what we're trying to do is to prevent that.
So it's not simply the social structure, the societal influence. There seems to be kind of an entrenchment there.
There is.
If you're part of a family or a neighborhood, right, that is in this pattern, it's breaking you out of that pattern that is so critical.
Our families are in a crisis right now, and we are living in perilous times because of father absence due to incarceration or due to social things and transitions in our community. So we have a whole generation of young people who are growing up without fathers. So they emulate what they see either on TV, movies, and in their neighborhood, or they emulate what they hear through the music. So if the music is for the last 10 to 20 years about violence, about, you know, pimping, about shooting, about ganging and things of that nature, then they emulate that type of lifestyle. So we have a whole generation out here who are trying to get it and make it. They want to be football players, or they want to go to pro basketball, but no one's focusing. So if they don't make it, then they resort to the underclass or the second class of how to make it and hustle, because number one, there are no jobs. There aren't any jobs. The jobs that they're seeking or the jobs that they would normally receive when you get out of high school, they're in China, they're in Malaysia, they're in, you know, in Korea. There are no jobs here except for social service jobs or service industry jobs like restaurant, food. And even now with McDonald's, you need a high school degree.
Well, and they're cutting back from full-time to part-time to avoid having to pay health care costs.
That's it. Yeah. So we're living in a lot of times of confusion. And but one thing about it is that what some of our young people don't have right now is faith, hope. That knowing
love.
That and love, knowing that they can take control over their own destiny if they not only keep their eyes focused on things above, but if they invest in themselves through education, through physical activity, that they can be all that God called them to be.
And this is what you folks are doing. You're providing them those kinds of programs that engage them in that activity, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do is, it's all about the child first, is making sure that they have that connection to that parent. Because just because the parent went to prison does not stop their parental obligations and responsibilities. And a lot of times when the child, a man without roots, they say, is a man without knowledge. So sometimes it's an opportunity for them to see who they look like. Do I really look like my dad? Do I really am from this family rather than not knowing at all? So we try to start there, and then we coordinate with the families throughout that quarter because we do quarterly bonding visits with them.
And you have this fundraiser coming up. This is free to the community. Is that how this works? Hot dogs and music and clowns and swimming and
custom cars. There's going to be horse rides. We're going to have games and a lot of interactive a hula hoop contest prizes.
Well, that sounds like a blast. And this is Saturday the 20th coming up from 11 to 4. It is going to be at the Walker Ford Community Center down there on Pasco Street.
Correct.
How, Is this indeed a fundraiser for the ministry? How does that part work?
It is. We really try to have promotion with sponsorships.
I see.
As a sponsor, your name gets put out there, but also it supports our ministry for our year-long visits that we do with Children of Inmates.
That's fantastic. Living Stones International, a faith-based children and family outreach and social services organization. Gary and Josephine have been our guests this morning, and we are grateful for the Montgomerys and what they have done to make this happen, not just for the population that they serve, the children and the families, but for all of us and for this community. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Todd Cutlip, General Manager of Browning Moving and Logistics in Tallahassee.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we are here. It is Saturday, and what a better opportunity to have with us our very good friend Tim Center. He is newly promoted as the Chief Executive Officer for Capital Area Community Action Agency. He looks like he's about 27 years old, but don't let that fool you. He has a lot more mileage on him than that.
87 years old next week. It's going to be good.
Good days, yeah. But here he is talking to us about the Community Action Agency, we'll say in shorthand. And what a great time. Let's put it this way, a great opportunity for us, a very timely moment when we can get you to ourselves. Because, doggone it, you don't stay in any one place for very long, it seems to me.
We continue to try to move everything forward, trying to get ahead. That's the goal.
Not just spinning your wheels. At sometimes it must feel as that is the case, that you're just sort of like, come on, people, we got to move this needle here. What are those things that frustrate you the most about this work? And let me stop right there and preface by saying, for those of you who do not understand or know about this agency and its work and its history and the mission of this very devoted group of people, I might say, in shorthand, their job essentially is to confront poverty, to confront income immobility, which has been kind of a buzzword, to confront the entrenchment of those who find themselves one generation after the next, not being able to engage and in enjoy the upward mobility, the increase in lifestyle or enhancements. How am I doing? Is that
you're fantastic? In fact, I can probably retire and turn this thing over to you. That's great. I mean, when it comes down to it, Community Action was created back in 1965 under the Johnson administration's
war on poverty.
Yep. And today, in rural communities, Community Action is still that only game in town that is there to help people in crisis, there to help people get out of poverty.
Yeah.
In urban areas, there are a lot of additional resources that come into play. And hopefully we're working cooperatively with Career Source and TCC's workforce and Lively.
You know,
and
what
good,
I like
goodwill.
About you? You're honest. You really are. At least if you're lying to me, I wouldn't know it because you must be very good at it.
Well,
think you're honest.
Well, we try to set the record straight on all of that, because here's the thing is that a lot of people think that the war on poverty has been a failed issue. And in some ways, it is
like the war on drugs. Yeah.
Well, I think anytime you declare war on something, then you're automatically assuming you're not going to win that thing, because it's not something that you win. It's something that you move toward. It's like sustainability. You just all of a sudden become sustainable, you continue to improve.
Right. You won't have a D-Day somewhere.
No.
Armistice Day.
No, so. Although you can lay a stake in the ground and say, we're going to take this hill and we're going to move in this direction. And I think that what we've done, our team, 100 people in 8 counties, are working day in, day out to work on this issue of economic security.
Yeah.
And the idea that anybody, no matter what your calling, what your background is that you should be able to have a quality of life, a minimum quality of life. And we're going to help meet that need that might be immediately pressing down on you, that tyranny of the moment, that immediate crisis,
right.
By paying your electric bill. Yep. But while we've got you in front of us, we're going to ask you, talk to me about what's causing this, because we're just treating the symptom. We're not treating the real cause.
Right.
And if we can get folks into our Getting Ahead, Staying Ahead program, where we're able to work with folks over a period of time to help them personally develop and become engaged in the economy, mm-hmm. and take them from a person on public assistance to a person who's a taxpayer, then that's a really positive thing that I think that no matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or independent, you're in favor of that.
Well, in fact, it seems to me that you have been a champion of the critical nature of all of us being involved. So let's talk about private business. Let's talk about the business community and, you know, the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. I mean, these are folks who are devoted to growing business, we'll say. The
sure.
Chamber of Commerce in any community has that as their mission. But there's an interesting interplay here, it seems, where, and I think you've been vocal about this, you've come back and said, look, okay, yeah, we're an agency here. We are publicly funded, but let's not kid ourselves. Everybody has to work together on this deal. And I thought that that's what the whole tyranny of the moment article that the newspaper provided us helped illustrate. You know, that if it makes good business sense, if I've got somebody who can balance their checkbook, more importantly, if there's somebody who's employable,
right?
And that's where you guys have made even greater inroads. Tell us about is it a 26-week program that you've...
So getting ahead. So let me go back on a second here.
Have I jumped ahead here?
No, you're good. You're okay. Good. I think you've laid a number of hooks upon which I will hang
something. We don't have any more time. We have to stop.
That's awesome. You know, the big thing is it's an understanding of who we are. We do receive funds from state government and federal government directly. Mm-hmm. We are a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. And we also receive private dollars. We have foundation dollars coming into us and corporate donations and sponsorships,
right.
And in fact, once folks get done listening to this podcast, or you know, they can go to the fairgrounds and help support what we're doing at Pigfest at the fairgrounds.
We're going
to
talk about
Pigfest. I know, but the idea behind what we're trying to do is trying to make sure that folks understand that this is not about income redistribution, more taxes, and basically destroying the resource community in order to help the unresourced mm-hmm. community. Mm-hmm. That's the big challenge. And so when you talk to the business community about the fact that there are 30% of our population is, you know, 50% of our population basically is struggling paycheck to paycheck.
Right, right.
Half of those folks live in poverty.
Right.
That they go, well, the only way I would think that you're going to suggest that I fix this is by more taxes and more programs.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that we need to be much more aware and conscious of the fact that we are a little bit more segregated than we might perhaps want.
And on that note, when you looked at Richard Florida's research and his team talking about segregated city, how did that strike you?
I think it's something we've known for a while, and I think that other folks do as well. They just don't necessarily want to acknowledge it, but they also don't understand exactly maybe that's the phrase to use.
Mm-hmm.
When you know wherever you grew up, you knew you had pockets, neighborhoods, communities that were traditionally known as those are the poor communities. Whether you're talking about South City, whether you're talking about Frenchtown, we've got communities that are struggling compared to thriving communities like a Southwood or out in Killarn. And traditionally, those two groups do not necessarily intersect.
Yeah.
And
they don't intersect not simply in terms of, let's say, income and education, but in terms of lifestyle. They're disconnected, even unaware of each other in some respects.
They are, and you know, the great place where I think a lot of segregation, economic and otherwise, occurs is in our public schools, because there you get a little bit of everybody together. But even our public schools are a bit segregated as well. You compare a north side school to a south side school, and there's a bit of difference in what we're doing in terms of investment of resources there.
Yeah.
And you know what we should probably be doing is probably doubling down on the south side schools. And I think the current administration would like to build a new south side school. And when you build a new south side school, you see an investment in those resources.
In that community,
and all of a sudden, those kids begin to see a different promise, a different hope, a different future for themselves, and that's exciting.
It is exciting, and I think it's reciprocal. You know, when you talk with people who themselves are representing that we'll call it other community, whether it's racial or ethnic. It comes back to me, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to fix it? And my question is, how are we going to work together in this? I think that people who find themselves impoverished have to think through, okay, here's the agency over here, Community Action Agency, with programs available. Maybe I can get my nephew plugged into that, because Lord knows he doesn't know how to balance his checkbook either.
Right. And just to go back to that issue, is that if anybody is interested in what we can do, they can reach out to us on the phone at 222-2043, yeah, or find us online or our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And that's Capital Area Community Action Agency.org.
Right. Right.
And the opportunity there is to find out about our Getting Ahead program. Mm. That's a 4-month program where we're basically over 2 hours each week going to be working with people through a curriculum that's not a lecture process. That's actually around a holiday.
26 weeks.
Well, because after they get done with the 4 months, we'll do some more work with them. But the neat part is that we've developed in that program, they'll learn a lot in terms of basically how life works.
Right. Talking with Tim Center, he is the CEO for Capital Area Community Action Agency, and you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So what are you going
to
do?
I don't know. My insurance company is telling me to take it to this one shop, but I don't know if that's the best thing to do.
It's your choice. It's not up to them. Have you told Jerry?
No, he loves that car. I wanted to take it to someone who would make it perfect, just the way it was, you know?
Yeah, well, you know Dan Hendrickson, right?
Dan Hendrickson.
The guy we met at that chamber thingy we went to, remember? He owns Capital City Collision Center. He was talking about the whole Gain Street thing, because he's down there by the stadium on Lake Bradford Road.
And you think they do good work?
You don't remember? Bobby's Jeep got rear-ended coming home from school.
Oh, that's right.
We had Dan fix it. It was great. And they're great to work with. And the guy in the paint shop is really cute.
Capital City did that.
Yep. I've got this card here somewhere. Here.
Okay. Capital City Collision Center.
Online at CapitalCityCollisionInc.com or call 575-9202.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We have with us Tim Center, the CEO, newly promoted. So apparently you're doing something right over there. You've got them all fooled.
You know, when you can't do it with money, you do it with a title, I guess. But I'm very pleased that my board sees confidence and has confidence in what we're trying to do.
And, you know, you certainly keep moving pretty quickly. And there's a lot to be done. This Capital Area Community Action Agency, we've been talking about it here in the first hour. And it occurs to me, Tim, that, you know, with my sons and my daughter, because they themselves have resource with me, I can teach them about the things that I've done in business, right? But if my dad or mom have never had that opportunity, well, very likely, unless there happens to be somebody in my hemisphere, where am I going to get that info? I'm certainly not going to get it out of a high school classroom, because, heck, you know, those guys and gals that are teaching classes down there, they may be focused on things that are not necessarily contributive to my success in the real world. And that isn't to decry the educational programs and the hard work and all that goes into that.
Yeah.
But it may be just kind of a misalignment there. Am I off base?
You know, and kids are one thing, but adults are another. And what we try to do in Getting Ahead is explain to people, taking a look at where they are in their current life. Mm-hmm. And we look at, in one class, we actually spend a lot of time on this, mm-hmm, is just looking at what are your circles of support, who's in that circle of support, and understanding exactly what they're able to do to help you bridge out of poverty. And you realize that not many of them can. Mm-hmm. And then you say, now who's in this bridging capital? Who are your connections,
right,
that are external to you, that are in a position to help you move forward? Because I think when you get into poverty, a lot of us think it's just about a lack of money,
right,
and it's not. It's
it
about
really
a it's about a lack of options,
yeah, and lifestyle too.
And,
I would say.
Well, it's, you know, then that's an option.
Okay.
The issue of the quality. You know, it's not about whether I'm going to vacation in the mountains or vacation in the beach.
Yeah.
It's about can I even vacation?
Yeah.
And that's an option. And so, and with those options and those opportunities, you need to look at who's out there. That's why these mentors become part of this circle of support outside that help you bridge the gap.
I see.
And as they are introducing you to new people, and over that course of 6 months of six monthly dinners, and you're in with all the rest of the mentors and mentees together,
right?
We have a chance to just break bread, spend a little time talking. Our case managers are going to work with those folks directly to do the direct kind of social service linkages to Career Source, to Lively, to get them the job skill, job training, job placement necessary if they don't already have that. The reality is that 65% of people in poverty are working.
You know, denial doesn't get me anywhere, does it?
Well, no. And what we find is in the issue of the creating the Staying Ahead program, what was really critical is when you bring in folks from the resource community who already know kind of everything that's just been taught in getting ahead, to the folks who are trying to change their lives. They kind of already know this, all the rules, the hidden rules of the different class. What they don't know, however, is they don't know what it's like to be in poverty. And so in the course of an hour and a half, as opposed to 4 months, in the course of an hour and a half, we actually do exercises with the mentors to give them an understanding of who they're going to be talking to. Because when you look at somebody and you go, well, why don't you just do X, Y, or Z?
Right.
And they, one, they may not know about X, Y, or Z, or they can't do X, Y, Z because A through Y has not been taken care of.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you're in a different posture to be able to help. Kind of walking a mile in another person's shoes.
Well, in fact, my stupid little metaphorical illustration is intended to say there are people who are trying to champion, and with good reason, the attractiveness of Tallahassee as a community. Headlines of this kind or reports of this nature that go out across the country are likely to influence, let's say, a business that's thinking about expanding and wanting to know, is Tallahassee a good place for me to be?
Right. And so much like buying a house, if it's a used house, an older house, you're looking to see what are the bones of that house.
Right.
So go with the issue of homelessness in Tallahassee. Several months ago, if you were reading our headlines, you would be really worried about the plight of homelessness in our community and how we're serving those folks. You take and follow the coverage through into modern day, and you realize, wow, we had a problem, and look at how this community came together and really, really bonded together.
Right.
When in time of crisis, there's an opportunity there to get together, and we've done some tremendous work in that space.
Yep.
Same thing goes as you relate to the issues of either the University of Toronto study from Richard, Florida, or you take the Rutgers study that comes and talks about the asset-limited, income-constrained employed, or the ALICE population, which is the working poor, above poverty but below the minimum cost of living, or you take a look at the income mobility issue that came out of Harvard, and you realize, wow, we've got some difficult issues here, so what are we going to do about them?
They may be diagnostic in some respects or descriptive,
right,
but they're not insurmountable.
Hey, your tires are out of balance.
Yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and balance your tires? Let's get the game plan for how we're going to do that. And that's going to require multiple groups coming together and wanting to talk about this and willing to talk about this.
Well, and of course, folks, that's the mission not only for Community Action Agency and this lovely young man, Tim Center, seems to work tirelessly in that effort. He's got this pig fest going on.
Exciting. So,
and speaking of being overweight, I will be there with my bib tied on.
Awesome.
In fact, I may just wear an apron.
That's awesome.
That way I can roll around.
Just a tent.
It's disgusting. But anyway, tell us about Pig Fest.
Well, it's amazing. As you know, I've only been with Community Action for 3 years, but it was started by the previous director and the team there. And now we're in our sixth year of having an annual barbecue competition. And by competition standards, this is the gold standard. This is sanctioned by the Florida Barbecue Association.
Oh, my goodness.
The winners qualify to go compete in the national and the World Food Championship.
And we have DeSoto to thank for this.
We do. Very first barbecue in North America was held actually here in Florida because of DeSoto. A little-known fact, if you go to the Pork Producers Association headquarters, they actually have a panel up about specifically that. But back to the competition. Pigfest, $10,000 in prize money is being awarded to about 40 cook teams that are coming in from Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. Sanctioned again, you go to the Jack Daniels. If you win this thing, you go to the Jack Daniels World Championships. You go to the Kansas Royale thing. This is big.
This is big stuff.
The judges, Brian, the judges are actually trained, certified, and have to maintain their qualifications. You and I could do it, but we have to go. We have to actually go get trained to do this. I'm not even a judge.
I'm signing up.
And we're also going to have Myron Mixon, who's a celebrity chef, come in and actually teach a little class for us as well as he's competing.
And when is this happening?
That's this Saturday. That's today, actually. It's today, June 6th, and it's at the North Florida Fairgrounds from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We have bands playing.
What are we doing here?
Bands playing all day. I'm there in spirit. Southern Satisfaction's kicking us off at 11 a.m. Wailing Wolves are coming on. The Alley Cats are going to come on. Slapdog Slim, which is a combination of Crooked Shoes and Acme Rhythm and Blues.
That's awesome.
And then the Brittany Russell Band. So we've got entertainment all day. We've got all the cook teams out there competing.
Very cool.
Opportunity to enjoy a ton of different food vendors out there.
Right?
All the fairgrounds. It's a $10 general admission ticket, $5 for youth. It's six and under. It's free.
Love it.
All the proceeds go to us to be able to help folks get out of poverty.
Why not do this, folks? So here's the deal. We're sitting here coming up on 10 o'clock. You need to grab your kids and get your wallet, go down there and have a great day with Pig Fest to benefit the Capital Area Community Action Agency. Our good friend Tim Center here, guest this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Folks, that's what we've got. We got ABC News coming up here at the top of the hour. Stay with me. We'll have more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Sue Semrau, head coach of Florida State women's basketball team.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We're back in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Glad you have seen fit to stay with me. Or if you've just joined us, we've had a great opportunity thus far to learn from some very important folks, Gary and Josephine Montgomery, who are here to tell us more about Living Stones International. This is a great faith-based ministry, particularly serving those families of incarcerated individuals. They work with the kids and the wives and husbands of those who are serving time. And Gary and, as she's known, JC, have had this as their passion for the many number of years they've been doing this. I think they started back in 2007, so a good 8 years they've been doing this. They've been married 42 years. They have four kids of their own, eight grandkids, and this is how they spend their retirement, you know, taking care of young children who otherwise would not be connected to their parent, who maybe then serving time in some facility. Well, it doesn't matter. Whatever the situation, Gary and Josephine, they just step in and get it done. And they've got this neat little event coming up, their third annual Family Fun Day. That happens on the 20th from 11 to 4, and it's at the Walker Ford Community Center. All right? So we've heard from them, and then we had a chance to talk with our good buddy Tim Center, who many of you know is the director for, in fact, the CEO now of the Capital Area Community Action Agency. Their primary mission to, as an extension of or an expression of the war on poverty that started under President Lyndon Johnson, that's how far back this sort of thinking goes, in which their intent is to provide programs for bringing people out of impoverished situations, bringing them up against those obstacles and a lack of opportunities that otherwise keep them out of raising themselves up, engaging those opportunities that are better employment, further education, even life skills, learning how to manage their own household expenses and such. But even, I think, as we've learned from Tim, even more significantly, helping them embrace a way of thinking, a different lifestyle, engaging themselves then in this other world that they may not have been able to access prior, and thereby finding that they're more employable. They are better prepared to enter that world in which their skills as a creator, as an innovator, can be better employed. Well, so here we now have the next part of that conversation coming up with Vincent Hunt. And Vince will be with us here in this hour. He's on the other end of that process, I would say. He's starting with kids that are as young as you know, 4 and 5 years old. He's got Creators Camp that he's going to be telling us about, which in and of itself is a marvelous innovation. But it is there for the purpose of encouraging innovation among young people and to help them explore for themselves their creative, entrepreneurial, we would say, and something else he's going to talk about, the intrapreneurial aspects of their contribution and how they fit into a world in which problems that they can have a part in solving may not have even happened yet, but they are in that way learning more about their participation and how they are wired, how they are gifted. Now, those are the things that are there on tap that are yet to be discovered. As parents, as educators, administrators of programs that are there to serve these young people, Vincent's one of them and his team. They're looking at it and say, well, here's a young person who just loves to do this. We didn't tell him to do this. He just does it. So then let's encourage that in him. And they'll not depart from it. They'll pursue it. They'll go after it. And when they do, wow, the kind of creativity that comes of that, the kind of tenacity that comes of that. And that doesn't mean that every single one of them will be out there doing something that is world-shaking. It doesn't have to be that. But it is going to shake their world. And it's going to shake the world that they participate in among their own family and their friends and their colleagues and their associates. You know, it's that. It's doing what's in that moment that is most significant for them. Anyway, we'll let Vincent tell you much more than I can, but that's what I'm getting from having listened to him talk about it. And I should tell you that this is happening because Vince has gone out to the business community and has enlisted the cooperation and support of several businesses. Taltech Alliance is there, Uber Operations, Sogetti, and the App Innovators, a massive corporation itself, and I'm proud to say Alcom Corporation. All of us got together to help support Creators Camp, and proud to do so. So a little shout out to all those sponsors from Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Well, that's cool. And we've got coming up here in this next segment, the Linnefelt Sports Report. So Tim Linnefelt will be with us to bring us up to date on Florida State baseball. They're playing game two, playing the Gators down there in Gainesville. For those who may not have noticed in the news, even this week, Stan Wilcox, the athletic director over there for Florida State Athletics, announced that Mike Martin has signed a 2-year extension on his contract. So he's here through 2017 baseball season. And Mike is a longtime friend of this community, a personal friend, someone that I have known for a very long time. And I can tell you, folks, what you see is what you get. He is on the field and off, the same gracious, I would say inspired and inspiring leader. Now he's in his 36th season as FSU's head coach of the Florida State Seminoles baseball team. And of course they're coming up again tonight with their super regional participation playing the Gators in Gainesville. So we wish them well. Tim will have news up to date on their progress as a team and some of the backstory, some of the things that are going on with that team, and it'd be fun to find out from him his perspective on all of that. Folks, we love what we're doing here. We're glad that you're a part of it. We wouldn't be here without our sponsors, and I want to make sure that I give a shout out to my friend Annette McGuffey over there that does such a great work every day, every week. A Country Rose Florist is the name of the business. You can find them online with beautiful flower creations and catering, cut flowers, gifts, all kinds of neat stuff. A Country Rose Florist.com. Check it out. We'll be back with Tim Linnefelt right after this.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Talking with Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing great, Brian. How are you?
We're good. Man, busy. And Florida State baseball, just as busy as ever, if not more so. And,
yeah,
come off a three-game winning streak, won that NCAA tourney, and now they're on to the Supers.
Super Regionals. Yeah. I always thought that was kind of a funny name for that weekend. But yeah, it's a good time for them. It really has been a pretty remarkable couple of weeks. They won three straight games to get through the regional, but that actually came on the heels of a four-game winning streak in the ACC tournament, which they won that tournament for the first time in 5 years. And all we're not on a seven-game winning streak here, came on the heels of a five-game losing streak.
Which is bizarre.
That ended the regular season and had everybody.
Corey Clark, you know, he's like, of course, that was the regular season.
Yep.
Now that starts all over again.
Sure.
Now they come on board.
Yeah. And so, and you know, maybe, I think he wrote, maybe we should have seen this coming, and perhaps we have, but that's hard to do, you know. But all that said, they're playing about as well as they have at any point this season.
You have to
season.
Ask yourself, what in the world did Mike say to these guys?
Man, I don't know, but hopefully he wrote it down.
Did he like put a quarter in the machine? I mean, did we just run out of quarters? What happened?
Yeah,
now they're going down to Gainesville.
That's
they're playing the Gators. So Florida State baseball, you know, these are the guys that get asked to the dance so often, and over the years, you know, Mike has grabbed his head. They've been up there trying to win that World Series, haven't done so. But they're always up there in that top of, certainly within the top, 10 or 5 teams that you think of when you think of NCAA baseball.
Sure, they really are one of the preeminent programs in the nation. Look, everybody who follows college baseball understands the deal with the College World Series. It is what it is. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Florida State's won more than 40 games every single year that Mike Martin has been the coach. It's 36 years. That's 40 games. That really is remarkable. And so, you know, it's kind of a good a barroom debate of, you know, would you take a national title in, I don't know, 1994 or 1995 if it meant, you know,
we never see you again.
Well, not even, but just, no, but saying, you know, oh, this year you're going to win, you know, 25 games. This year you're going to miss the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament. Yeah. You know, would people trade off a national championship that happened 20 years ago in exchange for the consistent high level
of
support?
Of course, we think of what they haven't done, not what they have done. There's just kind of that tendency, I guess, in all of us that we want to say, well, what's the problem here? Why you guys can't push that button? I mean,
I guess, and I still think
winningest coaches in college baseball.
Sure, and again, I just kind of belabor that point just a little bit. You know, had Florida, you know, Florida State came a game, an extra inning game in 1980. I think it was 1986. In fact, that might not have been extra innings, but whatever it was a close game in 1986 against Arizona, a national championship game, and they lost. Had Florida State won that game 30 years ago, would that change Mike Martin's legacy? I mean, I guess it would a little bit, but the point being. I mean, I don't know. It's just
when you talk with the players this year. I mean, you go back to the days when Buster was behind the plate. They have certainly produced some remarkable talent in their legacy. These days, when you look at their top players, they're no less headed for the pros. And who do you see on that list that you think will be that sort of star status, or I don't know, Buster Posey kind of presentation?
Well, Buster Posey, first and foremost, is a really special case. When he came out, I don't know that anybody – I thought he'd be a really nice player, but he's looking like a Hall of Famer. Yeah. But certainly the top of that list is a left fielder, DJ Stewart. He's a guy from Jacksonville. He's only a junior, so he could come back next year if he wants. But common thinking suggests that he would be wise. He'll be such a high draft pick that that it would be – almost no decision for him to make. I believe he's projected to be either a low first round, high second round kind of guy, and for a junior college player, anything in the first 3 to 5 rounds, especially is kind of worth going. A really, really great player, was an ACC Player of the Year, multi-year All American. Just a fantastic hitter, power hitter, and projects pretty well at the next level. So I think he's a guy. The Major League Draft starts this week, actually. Starts early this week, and I think you'll hear his name pretty soon.
Do you think, I mean, you've been around these guys a lot. They did come through the end of the regular season, and they're off of that, which you referred to earlier, this losing streak. Did you notice a shift? Was there something that you were able to see in not just in their game, but off the field? Was there anything that said to you, okay, here we go?
You know what? Not really. Probably not, at least until maybe the middle of that Louisville game. They looked a little bit. That was the third game in the ACC tournament, because beating Clemson, they had come off. They had gotten swept at home by Clemson. They swept at home for the first time in almost 10 years.
But they
should have beat. So beating Clemson, it was good for their mental makeup. Right. But they should beat them. Same for North Carolina. They should beat them too. But Louisville was the number 2 team in the country all year, national seed, one of the best programs around. And Florida State beat them, shut them out for the right to go to the ACC championship game. So at that point, you're thinking, okay, maybe they've turned a corner. It was hard to notice. I don't know that I noticed anything particularly different, but I will say this, and I think this in a lot of cases, and not just in baseball in regards to this team, is athletes, I think, they don't really think like you and I think. You know what I'm saying? Like you and I will look at this. We look at a matchup and say, oh, this is going to be a difficult challenge for them. I don't know that they can win. Well, an athlete, somebody who puts in the work and effort, you know, whether it's misguided or not, and sometimes it is, they don't think that way. They think, we're going to go down there and win, or we can beat this team. We're going to beat this team. Yeah. And
so that's they play their game.
Sure. And that kind of sounds cliche. And believe me, there are plenty of athletes and plenty of teams who believe they can win that have absolutely no shot. But sometimes they do. And I think that's kind of what happened is even though these guys hit a rough patch, I don't believe they ever lost confidence in themselves, even when everything that we saw.
So they're as mystified as we are as to how they lost.
I don't know if mystified is the word, but I think it's just more
or surprise.
It's just like this happened. We're going to move on, and we know we're better than this, and that's that. And so far they're right about that.
Yeah. What do you think is their strongest side here? Are they more able defensively or offensively?
I think the biggest thing right now, and honestly, I should have touched on this earlier, the biggest thing that's helped them out so much over the last month or so is their starting pitching has just been if not outstanding, remarkable. Awfully close to it. Yeah. And you're looking at a couple of newcomers, a sophomore, and Boomer Bogowski. He's a Childs High graduate who spent a year at junior college before coming here to Florida State. Is pitching like a four-year veteran. They have another freshman, a true freshman, in Drew Carlton, who's been their Sunday starter, who's pitching like a four-year veteran. And then Mike Compton, who is a four-year veteran, who is had a solid season, and also I think is valuable in terms of kind of showing those younger guys the ropes and keeping them sort of in check as the season progresses and they get to pitch in some bigger stages and some higher profile moments. The dynamic there has been really positive for Florida State, and you saw it in the regional last week when Boomer Bogowski, Charleston Southern is a team that they don't have a big name brand, but they hit a lot of home runs.
Awesome.
And he kept them in check. Yeah. So
Tim Linnefelt, the Linnefelt Sports Report, as always a pleasure, sir, having you with us. Thanks for taking time to bring us up to date here on Florida State baseball.
All right, thanks.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks.
And I'm Kathy Griffin, president of Whidden Glass.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help, and the Tallahassee Food Challenge is a great way to do it.
Join us in giving generously. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families.
Look for the Tallahassee Food Challenge truck at your favorite grocery store in the weeks ahead. Your donation will be delivered directly to these charities that do so much to help all of us.
Take the challenge. Fill the truck.
Feed the hungry. Find out more at TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. We've got Vincent Hunt with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm pleased to introduce to you Vincent Hunt, longtime friend of this show. I would think it would be fair to say a longtime friend of this here Tallahassee town that we love so much, because Lord knows, the guy doesn't have to be in Tallahassee. I mean, he might think so, but really, honestly, where are you from? Indianapolis originally?
Indianapolis, Indiana originally.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Midwest.
Like, there aren't places in the world that would love to have you.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get you away from us,
yeah.
But then, you know, we just drag you back.
There's just something about Tallahassee, right?
Keeps you here, doesn't it?
Keeps you here.
So, when we first met, which seems like a decade ago,
yeah.
It might be, but. Nonetheless, you were this just fresh off the farm, enterprising, going for it kind of guy who
absolutely.
Just had all of these brilliant ideas, and everybody went, oh, wow. Have you met Vincent Hunt?
Breath of fresh
air. And you're like, please stop it. You know, I'm just over here doing my thing. Don't, I'm not a rock star or anything.
All right.
But I think you have, if I may not embarrass you, I'll try not to embarrass you. I think you have a rock star sort of mentality. Here's what I mean by that. I think that when you take the kind of creativity that you possess, the kind of passion that is yours, the kind of, I'll call it whitewater rafting tenacity, you know, that you're going to figure out how to navigate your way around those big old rocks and over those waterfalls. Those are the things I know about Vincent Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know you to be a very tender-hearted person.
Yeah.
And I think that in addition to your passion, there is the compassion in which you look into the lives of people, whether they're driving to Indianapolis looking for a good pizza restaurant. And so here comes, you know, the application that you developed. What was it?
Minulous,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what got me.
Neat little
here.
Solution. And you just kind of whip that out. I know that only took you like an afternoon or something to work that.
It's a little bit longer than
I'm laughing here. But anyway, so then you move forward into looking at how we can better construct educational models, I guess I would say. That's probably not a fair way of describing it. But you've invested yourself in how we go about encouraging and educating and engaging, especially young people, in this creative process.
Yeah.
How am I doing so far?
Doing awesome.
Okay, so bring us right up to this point where now you have this thing called
Creators Camp. Yeah,
young Tell people. Tell us about Creators Camp.
Yeah, Creators Camp is something that Massive Corporation, which is what we can call the umbrella company that I work up under, Strategic
that
Ideation.
That you created.
That I created.
See, he won't tell you that, folks. I have to bring that out.
Yeah, sometimes you got to create the space you want to work in because it doesn't exist yet.
I relate to that.
So it's Right. Yeah. You do the exact same thing. Like if you can't find what it is that you're trying to do in the marketplace, go create it.
Go create it.
And just do it. You know, sometimes like because we're in a college town, you got a lot of kids coming out of FSU and FAMU and they say, well, Vince, I've been putting in my resumes, I've been putting in applications, I'm trying to get a job, I'm trying to figure and I wanna do this, I wanna do that. And all of them at the core, you know, they wanna climb those corporate ladders. And I say, you know what's really interesting? Climbing a corporate ladder is cool. But building a ladder and just sitting at the top is even cooler. Uh-huh. Try that out, you know. And so when you get to that place in your life where you realize if you can't find the work that you want to do in the marketplace, you have the power to create that work.
Do you think everybody possesses that, or is there a kind of person who, and what is that difference, if there is a difference, that says, yeah, I'm going to build my own ladder?
Yeah.
Can anybody do that, you think?
You know, I think everybody has the capacity to do it. I mean, we're made in the image of our creator. You know, I just believe that, and he is creation. So we all have the ability to create.
I got you.
We have that. But now I can say this. Let me put a disclaimer on there. Not every person is going to be the entrepreneur who goes and starts a company.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So even in the last couple of years, if we've started to craft and mold, you know, the topic of this conversation here, which is Creators Camp,
right.
The one thing that's become glaring and very, very evident to me is this idea that entrepreneurship is just as powerful as entrepreneurship.
And what's the difference there? Intra versus entre?
Yeah. Entrepreneurship is where an individual has an entrepreneurial mindset, the ability to create, solve problems, you know, be, you know, a capitalist in their own right.
Innovative,
creative, all those things. But they don't want to take the risk of going to go start a company, so they work for a company with those attributes.
Right, right, right.
That's starting to bubble up to the top a lot. Right. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs or what they call wantrepreneurs are finding that they're really entrepreneurial. Like they like the idea of creating. They like the idea of taking risk and innovation and creation and all these cool things, but they like the safety of the umbrella of a company.
Interesting.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I think in a time that we're in right now when companies are really trying to figure things out, you know, the rise of the entrepreneur is going to be very, very powerful. In fact, I said it yesterday on Twitter that you're going to start seeing, I just believe this, you're going to have the director of entrepreneurship within companies.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can have small entrepreneurial teams inside of an existing company. You see it. You've got big companies like Samsung and some of the other bigger players that have little small agile teams within their corporations that act like startups to innovate.
And they don't necessarily clock in. They're working from various places in the world.
Yeah.
We have an employee here who also works for Apple.
Yeah.
She goes home, she logs in, and she's providing support for Apple users.
Absolutely. And that's one way that it looks, right? Yeah. But now you do have those who do clock in.
Yeah.
They're still entrepreneurial.
They've got a desk.
They've got a desk and everything, but their sole function or their purpose within that organization is to innovate and to take risk.
I got you.
To be an entrepreneur inside of an organization.
And in doing so, they're connecting then to this outside world and other folks who are in that
staying
same
on the
creative
edge.
Process. And so that's how this company is staying connected to
absolutely
like-minded folks. I get you.
Absolutely. And more and more companies are starting to realize the importance of that. That's the way to stay agile. That's
so
the way to
stay. So Creators Camp is contributing in some way to that, or what?
Oh, contributing in a big way. Creators Camp was prototyped last year with Massive Corporation, and now it's become evolved into this year, which we call Creators Camp version 2.0. Sandy Chavez, who is actually the camp chief of Creators Camp, really, really pushed the needle and said, guys, we really need to push this into the marketplace because we need it. Now, we have to understand that Creators Camp is designed for K-12. Because instead of all of this reactive medicine that we've been doing in the marketplace, you have the kids who go to college, come out, don't really know which direction they want to go.
Right.
We want to be more proactive, more preventive medicine than anything. So at Creators Camp, we catch them when they're young. And we start talking to them about entrepreneurship, the five pillars of Creators Camp, which are so important: critical thinking, creative thinking, communication, collaboration, buildership over leadership. And a lot of people stop me there. They say, Vince, what is buildership over leadership? I believe we're coming into a time where our young people have to lead by what they do and not just by what they say. The old paradigm of the manager barking down orders is going away. We're looking for managers that are engaged or players that are engaged in the process of creating and innovating and really moving companies forward.
Interestingly, I read this article the other day about, and I'm blanking out on the name of the author, but basically the treatise was leaders eat last. So it's that sort of thinking.
It's that sort of thinking now amplified and illuminated and made relevant. In other words, because you're going to have both ends of the spectrum. You're going to have those servant leaders, right, which is awesome. But then you're also going to have those leaders who get there, and we've all seen them, the entitled leader, right? The one who says, I'm the leader, so just follow me. Why? Because I said so, right? We want to get away from that paradigm. I think we're living in a time where we all have to be very, very constructive and very, very intentional about our creative output, about our innovation output. And so builders versus just the plain leader take a greater responsibility. That builder says, if there's an area in this organization that needs revamping, I'm willing to go do the work.
Gotcha.
Not just go tell the other people to go do the work.
And Creators Camp is helping these young folks engage that.
Absolutely. Everything that we do, we have, like, Creators Camp is a, now let me make this covenant. Creators Camp is a year-round thing. It's not just a summer camp.
Okay.
So Creators Camp, when you think about Tallahassee being a campground, right, and then in that campground you have campsites. So you have Holy Comforter having conversations with us. You have ITT having conversations with us, FAMU, FSU, becoming campsites where we can actually have what we call expeditions. Expedition is where we actually expose a child or a young person to one of the creative industries under the STEAM paradigm, where you have science, technology, engineering, math. Now the STEAM paradigm introduces that A, art and design, because we think that's just as important. So we really, really focus on the STEAM paradigm. And this very first expedition that we have, SS 2015, is the Raspberry Pi. And that really focuses on computer programming and the building of computers.
Well, we're going to get into more details about that. Folks, we're listening to Vincent Hunt, the founder of Massive Corporation, an amazingly contributive individual, right here in our little town of Tallahassee, with this new idea, which is really an old idea, but presented to us in this new way, Creators Camp. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, folks. I'm Jerry Thigpen, blues guitar player here in Tallahassee, coming at you for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny on 93.
We are back, and we're talking with Vince Hunt, good friend of the show, a good friend of the host, and we would have him here every week, except, you know, he's got things to do and people that he serves and projects that he continues to move forward. I'm sure that you've got a bag full of goodies that you're not even talking about yet.
We got some cool stuff on the horizon.
Now tell us again, this Creators Camp and the Raspberry what?
Raspberry Pi. Raspberry Pi is a credit card sized computer that you can build from the ground up. So it gives you everything that you need to actually build the computer, and it's like the size of a credit card. It's really, really cool. This SS 2015, which starts on June 15th and goes through the 26th, it's a two-week expedition where the young people built this computer from the ground up, learned three of the computer programming languages that command this thing. And on that second week, they have what we call the Guppy Tank experience, where they can actually decide what they want to do with their Raspberry Pi. It could be a home security system or a home entertainment center or whatever it is that they want to do. And then they get in front of the Guppy Tank, where they can actually sit in front of local leaders who will critique their projects and actually give them additional funding to take the projects further. Man. It's pretty cool.
And we're talking about like 9 and 10 and
11 to 14, actually. This group is 11 to 14, so I'm excited about that.
Building computers, creating business models, presenting them to venture capitalists.
Absolutely.
And then saying, yeah, I got my own business. How old are you? 13.
That's it. That's it. I want to see that, right? Yeah, I want to see that. That's absolutely awesome.
And now this camp is the first time you've done this?
Or is this is the very first up under version 2.0.
Okay.
We actually prototyped it last year with the FAMU REMS program.
Okay.
We did it over at Griffin Middle School and also with Springwood Elementary School. And we learned a lot from those three experiences in the sense that, you know, when you're working with young people, building their creative confidence is everything. And then giving them the exposure to the different types of technologies that you're trying to get them to expose themselves to is also, you know, a challenge in itself. But at the end of the day, what you've got is if you have young people who are, you know, standing in front of groups of people saying, you know, my name is Jakarius and I'm the visual designer of this project. When you start to hear things like that, you start to understand that the kids are getting a deeper context to the information
you
that
know,
you're trying to give them.
It strikes me that when we talk about intellectual endeavor, when we talk about creative endeavor, when we talk about artistic endeavor,
yes, sir.
Somehow that seems rather special or a different or unusual, and yet we do this with little 6-year-olds out there with baseball bats. We've been doing that for decades. Talk to any pro athlete. He started when he was like 5 years old, swinging a bat or throwing a ball, or
and that makes
whatever.
Sense
and yet we haven't applied that thinking here.
Right, because you have the you have to understand that, you know, you got the industrial model of the school system that's been in place for 100 years, right? And if you listen to people like Sir Ken Robinson or David Kelly over at IDEO, and they talk about how the school system really isn't retrofit to really build creative confidence in young people. It's just not that. It's to create the worker, right? The one who's going to go contribute to the workforce or contribute to society in the way that they're going to contribute. Well, creativity is something that's so important, but it's not like the hot topic. It's not like becoming the basketball player or the baseball player or the doctor or the dentist.
Right.
But if you have that creative output, right, where does that energy go?
So that's a 19th century or even older model in which we've already built the machine. We just need you to run it for us.
Yeah.
We don't need you to ask questions. We don't need you to try and reinvent it.
No.
Just do the work.
But right. And we find out that it's not working now, right?
It's not working, man.
Nope. You got kids coming out of college. I don't know what the percentage is now, but when I studied this like a year or 2 years ago, it's 53% of the kids that are coming out of college right now unemployed or underemployed.
Because those jobs aren't there anymore.
They're
machines
gone.
Don't even exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about writing a book called The Day of the Machines. Because, I mean, that day is over, right?
Right.
So it's that. And to understand that if we're not equipping this emerging generation of creators and innovators, what are we doing? Like, how are they really going to contribute? And when they get out and they're frustrated in the marketplace because the modern employer is looking for those who can think creatively and think critically and can collaborate and communicate well, you know, that's what the marketplace is demanding, but we're not creating that in the school system. It behooves me when I talk to a recent graduate of higher education and I say, what is it that you're going to do? And they look at me and they say, they don't know. Right. They spent all these dollars on an education where when they get out into the marketplace, they don't know what they're going to do. I was speaking to a PhD the other day. He put out 120 resumes and applications and has not gotten one job yet.
And we don't do that in any other endeavor. You should get 4 years of college. What are you going to do? I don't know.
I don't know.
That didn't make any sense.
Right. And going back to the PhD.
Why don't they know? Is it because of what you're saying, this educational model hasn't gotten them thinking about what they're going to do?
The business of school is going to be the business of school, right? And I'm not putting school down. I love school. I love higher education. I love learning. But the idea of the business, we've gotten so deep into the business of school that we've really gotten away from the business of people, like building contributors to the economy. So it's that, you know, it's how can we get more tuition? How can we get more enrollees, right? Instead of looking at them as those numbers, instead of saying, are we really building what we need to sustain the future?
Yeah.
Are we building the individual who will solve this problem that we've got with cancer? Mm. Will we build the individual that will solve this problem that we have with energy?
And be
will
able
we?
To address those problems
yeah.
we haven't even considered yet.
Yes.
That don't exist yet.
Mm-hmm. The unseen.
Or nobody's noticed. Yeah. And yet they have the ability to look at that and solve that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, every economic, and we've talked about this in the past before, right?
Yep.
Every economic cycle, generate whatever you want to call it, that we've gone through has had its own champions, right? Here we are living in one of the most volatile times that we've ever seen, where creativity and innovation is running everything. We have new systems of building wealth. We're not even building million-dollar companies anymore. We're building billion-dollar companies. And those are people who are actually building new knowledge. So now what we're getting into is this conversation about creative intelligence. We're not even talking about IQ anymore. Yeah. What is your creative intelligence? Because, and that's the highest order.
Yeah.
It's always been the highest order. Creative intelligence is what actually builds new knowledge, right? And we need to know new stuff. Yeah. We have new challenges. We have more people. We have to solve bigger problems. And so if we're not building the creative intelligence in young people, what are we really, really doing? Mm. Right? So you take the young child who wants to be a veterinarian, right? You got 3D printing over here sitting on the right-hand side. And this young person who wants to be a veterinarian doesn't see the connection between 3D printing and being a vet. Why? Because their creative intelligence has been squandered. But they should be able to see, what if I could build prosthetics for dogs? Mm. Right? Build an artificial leg for a dog using a 3D printer, so now I'm solving that problem. Mm-hmm. It's those simple connections that kids are missing, right? They have all the technology in the world, but they're consumers of it and not creators of it.
And folks, if you don't know this, that's happening. In fact, we posted, I think, on our Facebook page last week, this sea turtle they had created using a 3D printer, a replacement for the sea turtle's bill.
Right? Yeah.
And installed this. And the sea turtle is like, dang, he's got his grill. You know, he's like,
I'm back in business.
He should have done it in gold, though. I thought that would have been really cool. But, you know, whatever. The sea turtle seemed very happy about that.
Back in business, right?
He's back in business.
But see, that's the thing about it. Like before, and Creators Camp stands on some very, very strong principles and ideas, is that if we can give young people the ability to explore, to create, and to pursue without the fear of failure, right?
Yeah.
That gives them a new way of looking at the world through a completely different kind of lens. And that's the lens that they need to be competitive in the modern marketplace. Mm. It just is, right? So we just have to do more. And Creators Camp was designed to actually do that. Wow.
Is it too late if I have a young person that I'd like to get involved in this Creators Camp this month?
Mm-hmm.
Are you full up?
Not yet. We actually have 10 seats left. So you have 9 more days to go.
Okay.
We've had some interesting people pre-register.
Okay.
You know, they're young people. We always like to communicate with the parents and, you know, ask, why are you putting this young person in this
What's the website? Program? How do I find you?
Creators.camp. http.creators.camp, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, creators.camp. It's not .com. It's not .us. It ain't none of that.
Creators.camp. Okay, folks. Think about this. If you want your young person to have an opportunity to experience this amazingly revolutionary way of thinking about their future, creators.camp is the place to go. Vincent Hunt, our guest this morning. As always, my friend, a pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Man, I appreciate you having me out here.
It's been great.
Good stuff.
Folks, that's what we do here, talking about all the very cool people doing very cool things like Vincent Hunt and Tim Center, who's been our guest today. And Tim Linnefeld, we've had such a great show. Thank you for being a part of it. We'll be back again next Saturday at 9 o'clock right here at 93.3 and streaming live to the web for those who listen across the globe. We're glad you're with us. Remember that Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising. Our executive producer, Carl Cerny, will be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.